We'll soon get an update from the White House. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. President Biden will address the Afghanistan situation in about 2 hours.
If we leave any Americans behind, if we leave thousands of those Afghans who fought along our side behind bravely, Joe Biden deserves to be impeached for a higher crime and misdemeanor.
Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, as thousands keep crowding Kabul's airport trying to leave.
British and French forces are leaving the airport to grab their people in downtown Kabul. The U.S. military under strict orders not to leave the airport. The Pentagon says nearly 6,000 people have been evacuated aboard 16 Air Force C-17s in the past 24 hours.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson at the Pentagon. The Taliban militants who took control as U.S. troops left are on the hunt as people try to go. Fox's Rachel Sutherland explains live.
Dave, the Taliban are going door to door, looking for people who helped the former Afghan government or U.S. and coalition forces, according to a threat assessment prepared for the United Nations. A former interpreter who worked with the U.S. for more than 10 years tells Fox News he now regrets it.
I'm sure that if they capture me, they will kill me. Like me, there are 100 people. This is called the wrong policy of the United States.
The man says he has applied for a special immigrant visa a number of times. Dave?
Rachel, it's time to prep for a storm. From New York's Long Island to Rhode Island up to Maine, as Tropical Storm Henri forecast to grow into a hurricane heads that way.
If you are told to evacuate, you need to evacuate.
Dennis Felker of the National Hurricane Center. Henri could hit Sunday and move north up the New England coast. Jeopardy needs to find the new host. Again, Mike Richards, who's also the TV game show's producer, has just stepped down effective immediately with today's show taping canceled days after he was chosen to replace the late Alex Trebek. Richards under scrutiny for comments he made about women on a podcast. America's listening to Fox News.
Well, according to research, 82% of people remember radio ads. That means that 82% of you listening right now will remember that this is an ad for ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, 82% of you will recall that ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And 82% of you will note that you can try ZipRecruiter for free today. But you have to go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Yes, free. 82% of you will keep in mind that ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified people for your job and actively invites them to apply.
You? Who are you talking to?
82% of you will also know that I, live with my mom. But the most important thing to note is that ZipRecruiter works. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Will you be part of the 82% who remember where you can try ZipRecruiter for free? It's ZipRecruiter.com/free. Again, that exclusive link is ZipRecruiter.com/free. How much? Free. That's ZipRecruiter.com.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. I got my partner, George Davis, here. Good morning, George.
Morning, Tom. Morning, Russ. Happy Friday.
And yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Sunny, nice weather. Should be a good weekend. No rain. At least I don't think it's coming.
Maybe temperatures are nice.
Yeah.
A little cooler than normal.
Took the dogs out for a walk last night with the wife, and it was beautiful out. Yeah.
So anyways, we just want to talk really about what's going on in the economy or other things that pop in our head.
Do we have enough time?
you and Mel were trying to steal off thunder before we got in here. I heard you guys talking about what? Hiring people and
that's reality, putting
money. I know. Yeah. So, one of the things that, is on the radar and it's probably going to stay on the radar is where we're going with inflation. And you kind of mentioned a lot of money has been printed. And the definition of inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods. And I think there's been over $1, $2 trillion pumped into the economy. And then too few goods, they've done a study, and they basically think, they said that 39% of the companies are having a problem with reordering items, meaning it's taking longer, or some of them, maybe they can't get it. So that's inventory problem or that. So if you look at where the CPI number was, which was a consumer price index, from a year ago, it's up about 5.5%, which is a strong number.
Well, we haven't seen a number like that in many years.
Now, from a year ago, the CPI number was, I think, a little bit more than 1%. It was pretty minimal. So, you know, then you look at gas is up 41% from a year ago. And food items and other items, you know, I know woods came down. But so basically the fear out there is inflation. Now, why is inflation not great for the economy? Is it's the quickest way to pull money out of people's pockets.
Yep.
And when people buy food, buy gas, or if they want to buy something else for their house, it's going to basically cost more money.
Yep.
So 75% of GDP, which is the gross domestic product, comes from Americans buying. And the only way Americans can really buy items is they have to have disposable income. So disposable income is everything left over after you pay for your basics. Food, electricity, housing, and so if the disposable income gets lower because prices are going up, then less money on the table. So the unknown, and this is a big question, is could higher inflation or could it go higher? And I think the infrastructure bill, you know, there's a lot of money being pumped into the economy there too, but can it lead us into a recession? Either a small one, medium one, big one?
And is that really a question?
Can it lead us to a recession?
I think it's more of a definition of what creates a recession versus can it. I think it's a given that it will.
In economics, nothing's a given. I've learned that. All the givens are not given. But I think basically it can lead us into another recession.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we did some studying from 1949 to present. The average recession lasts about 14 months. Now, in the 70s, one lasted almost 2 years, went 5 quarters. So even if there is a recession, it's not good, but ultimately you overcome them.
But something we haven't said is a depression word, to go into a depression. And I don't know what the time frame is on that, but that's a reality too, that it could go longer.
Well, before you go into the depression, I think what could cause that would be stagflation. Sounds like a cool word.
Well,
you want me to explain what that is?
Yes, go ahead.
So, I mean, that actually comes...
I think I've seen bits of it now.
Yeah, I think you go higher inflation, maybe recession, and then stagflation, and then depression. Rank it. So stagflation is when there's high unemployment, low growth with the economy, and the third equation is... still inflation.
Right.
A lot of the inflation comes from, like, energy, because if energy stays high, that affects a lot of things, including making products, plastic.
Well, and not only that, it adds to the inflation because everybody's energy cost goes way up. Everybody has energy costs.
So stagflation is considered a perfect storm where there's three variables that are coming in: low growth, high unemployment, and inflation.
Well, the reason it's so dangerous is you can't make adjustments at the Fed level or anything to fix it, because whatever you do is going to affect the others negatively. So it becomes a tough one to fix.
You almost have to eat. You know, there are some ways to fix it. One way would be to get the energy prices down, which is, again, production. So that might take a while. You don't produce energy immediately.
Generally not.
Yeah, the other way is to try to pull money out of the money system so that there's less money, not as much money floating around.
Right.
So, you know, the right now the federal government has been buying about $30 billion a month, but a high number in bonds. And right now they own 35% of our debt right now. And that's increased in the last year. They've been buying a lot.
But, Tom, don't you find it odd that nobody cares? I mean, I'm talking nobody in the media, nobody in the elected officials. You're not hearing a lot of noise like, this debt is killing us, we got to slow it down. We don't hear that.
Well, I think until the people start screaming, then that's when probably the elected officials would pay more attention. But, I mean, you know, you look at inflation, extreme hyperinflation down in South America, you know, I mean, that's extreme. But, you know,
well, to
get a loaf of bread costs, you know, $5,000 or some crazy number.
Yeah.
So I think the Americans have to feel a little more pain. Now, as far as feeling the pain, let's look at the typical American. Prices are almost at all-time high for most states. I mean, real estate is up.
Mm-hmm.
People's 401ks should be up because the market's pretty strong and it is up. And then during COVID, people have saved some money or paid down debt, a combination. So, you know, you look at when you test the typical American, they probably feel pretty strong on their financials because all those variables are up. Once that goes away, and I don't know if you saw, Michigan comes out with a report on how the consumer feels. I think it came out like a week and a half ago, and this was the first time that that report came in kind of negative. But this thing could change pretty rapidly. I mean, people are pretty happy today. They can be pretty unhappy tomorrow, and we saw that in Afghanistan. Happy today, unhappy within 11 days. And I'm not saying comparing that to here, but things can turn pretty quick. But I think the people need to understand what's going on, and if they don't, then it's probably a benefit of not talking about it, you know.
Well, the end of that,
stir the pot.
You're talking about money flowing into people, Tommy, the end of that stimulus, end of September. So the money from the government, and there's some people still holding out. I know Russ was talking about how hard it is to find employees and for the job searches. So there's still a lot of, I think about 5.7 million below what we were at the peak as far as employment goes.
Yeah.
So there's going to be starting to look when that money runs out.
And then if you also hear, there's talk about some states trying to extend it, or even the federal government saying, I think the executive branch said, hey, this should get extended from September, I think, the end of the year.
Mm.
So, you know, you keep kicking the can down the road. That's one thing in the past that businesses could count on is, you know, the government usually moves pretty slow. What are the taxes? You know, what other means are out there?
I like that.
And now, you know, the goalposts are changing as we go. And to me, I don't, you know, businesses definitely don't like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a Fed meeting at the end of this month, and they're talking about possibly, you know, changing the wording to the tapering, where they start buying back the bonds. And the Fed's word they use a lot is that transitory when it comes to inflation. You're talking a little bit about inflation, and they seem to think it's short-lived right now. So.
Yeah. And,
we'll see.
And even if they start talking about it, I mean, they've been talking about it, but they're looking at late 2022. I mean, their idea is, you know, giving everyone plenty of time. Warning.
Yeah, well, Powell came out and said that they're not even on the radar for them to be raising rates.
Yeah.
So.
But once they start tapering, I think you're going to see, you probably know this, what's the economic book that was written during the Washington era, The Invisible Hand? There's something called the invisible hand of the government.
Mm.
And it was written by economists. You probably Google it. I forgot the name.
Yeah.
But basically what they're saying
like John
is...
John Adams or something.
Yeah, when the government comes in and tries to hold something down by artificial means, when that hand gets lifted, it will bounce back higher. So without a doubt, they've been holding down inflation, trying to get the economy going. So when that thing leaves, I mean, it could jump pretty quickly and pretty high, I think. Now, other people might, and I'm talking like 1 to 5 years from now. I mean, we could be back to, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8% mortgages or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, double-digit mortgages. If it really gets
extreme,
out of hand.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Jimmy Carter. Adam Smith, right?
Yeah, Adam Smith, yeah. Okay.
Adam Smith?
Forgot the name of the book, but it was a nice little read.
I had a copy of it in here. I loaned it to somebody.
It wasn't me, Russ.
I used to keep it here, but I'll have to buy another one. It's not a small book.
So you're talking about recession, Tom, and I didn't realize, I guess, talking about the government being late on the notices. But on July 19th, NBER, which is considered the official arbitrator of recessions, announced that the trough in the economic activity occurred in April of 2020. So they're actually calling that April 2020 low as a recession. They announced it on July 19th. So,
I don't know, because a typical recession is a measurement of negative GDP. And I just read something that even though COVID hit us hard and the market dropped you know, 40-50%.
Yeah, I didn't consider
that
it a recession either.
It was, yeah, I think those different measurements, but I don't think they put it down as a recession because the economy is still going. And we're taking a first break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk, 560 AM, Yuma Investment Group, Tom Rice here, George Davis. Morning, George.
Good morning. Good morning, Yuma. Number here is 344-5258, 344-KBLU. Any questions about finances or investing, give us a ring.
So
available for that, Tom.
So this week, we've crossed over the S&P year-to-date's up 20%.
That's a good year.
Strong number.
You know, I was thinking at the beginning of the year, didn't we have those guesses? Did we do this year?
I copied them, I thought. Did we do it this year?
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah, we did
it. We did, yeah.
Where we project out what it's going to be. I don't know if I did that.
Well, I'm sure I already won. you kept the copies, didn't you, George? I don't think I did.
Yeah, I think Tom kept them. The last year, didn't you win last year, too?
I did.
Yes.
Hey, did we ever go to lunch or no?
We did.
Oh, we did? Okay.
Yeah, we did.
We went over to a Chinese place there, Big Curve.
Yeah, yeah, good. Okay, so we're paying on our debt, Tom.
I think you had to pay, didn't you?
Yeah, I think you stuck me with the bill.
So that, you know, what's interesting is the last 10 years, growth stocks have outperformed value companies by quite a bit. Now, year to date, or the last 12 months, value companies are coming back into play. So small cap values have done the best. They're up 26% year to date. Mid caps are up 25%. But if you think about, you know, what's the difference between growth and value companies? Growth companies are companies that are growing at a good rate, whether it's, you know, 10, 15, 20% or higher. Value companies are companies that are making money and have a good cash flow, maybe not growing a lot, so the value play is coming back in.
I got now, definition if of value a, right here, Tom.
Okay, go ahead and read it that way.
The value factor attempts to capture excess returns to stocks that have low prices relative to their fundamental value.
Okay, and I think a lot of that has to do with their cash flow and if they're making money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most value companies are making money and not going negative. But if we go into some type of small recession, and I don't think this is going to happen, you know, anytime this year, but 22, 23, I mean, it would be interesting. But if that happens, the value companies are sought after more than growth.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what were you saying for this year on value versus growth?
Well, the value stocks have outperformed the growth. Although the last 10 years, growth has definitely been the play.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that's technology. I mean, we're all moving to a tech place.
Yep.
And then the international markets are kind of waking up a little bit. You know, up 17%, one's up 29%. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the international market, because this is something I think is of interest. The last 10 years, the U.S. market has done a 50% better return than the international market. So without a doubt, international has not been the place.
No.
Now, you can go back and look at, you know, how it underperformed. So it's always about where's the next value play at. You know, if you're going to buy something, you're looking at what the price is. And a lot of things that I'm reading, whether it's through research, newsletters, things I get, the overall theme in there is they think international could come back into play. And from 2003 to 2009, the international sector was up about 120% in about 6 years. So it had a heck of a run, and I'm not saying it's going to do that. But we think the international sector could cycle back up and become more of a performance. Now, the other reason why we think that is we think the dollar could get weaker by printing too much money.
Yep.
So if the dollar gets weaker, price of international stocks go up. So let me give you a little example. Say you take a dollar and you buy Nestle chocolate out of England in shares, and the shares never go up, never go down. But if the dollar drops 10% and then you sell that and convert it back to the dollar, that made a 10% increase off the currency. So the weaker dollar is another reason why we think international. Now, when I tell people that in my office, a lot of people look at me like I'm an alien because they know it hasn't done much. But again, do you want to be ahead of, you know?
But international has a lot of places to go, you know, Asia, you know, China, Europe.
Yeah.
What would be good, do you think?
Well, 65% of the publicly traded companies are not in the U.S.
Well, imagine that's true. I mean, population-wise, we're a small part of the pot of the world.
So you can get into, you know, sector areas like the Europe, where they go after Europe companies.
Yeah.
But really, if you got into a global mutual fund or ETF, a global means they can go anywhere in the world, including the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So most global funds have, you know, 10-15% U.S. Or you can get very concentrated, go to Asia.
Yeah. And all those money market type deals are available. I mean, you have different ones for Asia or for Europe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
nowadays, there's, yeah, you can go to India if you want to get
you
focused
go
on
to
that.
South Africa.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good
yeah.
question, Russ, because EM, Tom's talking about international. And when you say international, you also think of emerging markets, which are...
Right.
Only up like 1.1% this year. So there's some value there if you're going to be taking a look. China, you know, when you mention, like Tom said, if you mentioned China and India
not,
to clients, they look at you like, what the heck? That's where they're
China's
hammered.
Not doing as well as I would have thought they would be doing by now. You know, I mean, things are going their way, but their Shanghai
mm-hmm.
is not up.
So emerging markets are basically companies that are very small GDP, like kind of their economies are small.
Right.
Like maybe... Some random country.
Vietnam or something, I imagine. Is that still emerging?
Vietnam is taking
a lot of hotspots.
I take a lot of Chinese business now.
They are.
Get out of there.
But India, too, isn't it? India's still an EM, isn't it, considered? Emerging market?
I think
1.3 billion people.
No, I think it's more of a medium range now.
Who knows?
Probably some of the countries in Africa and South America that are...
But some of Thailand, Vietnam, South Korea. I don't know if South Korea's emerging, but... kind of still small.
Indonesia.
And then if you look at the sectors, energy is up 33% year to date. Financials are up 32%. Real estate's up 30%.
Good Lord.
So publicly traded stocks with real estate. Now, one interesting thing is if you start having inflation, there are certain asset classes that do better, and one of them are called real assets or hard assets. And basically, what does that consist of? Metals, you know, maybe gold, silver, but metals.
Mm-hmm.
Also, infrastructure, so material items of what it takes to build something.
Okay.
Should go up with inflation. Believe it or not, real estate goes up with inflation. So a lot of these publicly traded real estate companies should do well with inflation.
So why does real estate go up with inflation? That's a question we get quite a bit. You're talking about the rents?
I think real estate is an asset, a hard asset. You don't touch it. But I think as interest rates go up, I think people qualify for less buy. You can't buy, or you maybe don't qualify to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So it creates more of a renter's market.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's more of a renter's market, you can
charge higher for
charge
rent.
Higher rent.
And the value of your asset goes up,
and then,
too. So.
And then energy goes up with inflation. So that's another sector that does well.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one, which is we talked about getting into certain sectors. There's the thing that I know our model holds is called water resources. Like that's a whole other sector. So we know the water is, especially in Arizona and such, is going down. But I think worldwide. So that's if that's another whole other sector that wasn't around probably 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Water resources.
That's going to get scary, too, with Lake Mead and everything. I don't know what that's going to do.
But
water
scary.
Is a commodity, although we took it for granted that you can, put your sink on and let it run for an hour and no one really
That
cares.
Was you?
No, but but it's becoming more of a, not a food commodity.
When I was in California, I was talking to a gal that went to Big Bear, and they're used to having the lake. I don't know how deep it is, but it's a pretty good-sized lake. And she said now it's just the water's only right in the middle, and it's maybe a foot deep. It's just
That's good fishing.
Terrible.
You just run in there and start kicking the water. they go out on the shore.
I grab it in. But on the way home, I also filled up my car. It was $4.80 a gallon.
Really?
Yes. How'd that feel? It felt really good, right?
Well, we're up a buck a gallon, but I hear that... It's going to level off a little bit, and the United States has been begging OPEC to produce more, even though we stopped our production and then begged them to produce more because the world needs you to not raise it too fast. And that,
yeah.
Okay. All right. So I understand it might level off a little bit, but long term we're going to be thin.
Well, the production here, the fracking, should be back up and running pretty well with the prices. Isn't there a break even?
I think everything above like $35 in fracking, they can make some money.
Yeah, they're already making money, but they
the
cut off
is
so much.
To shut them down and open them up is a lot of money.
Biden took a lot off the table.
Yeah.
You know, what you can't do, closing the Keystone and stopping the fracking, stopping the offshore. I mean, he shut the door on a lot of exploration and everything else. So.
Mm.
And natural gas, I don't know if you watch gas, but that's gone up quite a bit too.
But that's all been shut off. I mean, we've shut down a lot of it. Anwar got shut back down. Everything got shut down. So all the prospects, all of the hopes have been shut down, plus existing things that we thought we could do we're not being able to do now. So
I was talking to a restaurant person a couple of days ago, and they were saying that even, like, chicken nuggets, like, basically sometimes they can't get it.
Yeah.
So when there is, they, like, order extra because they don't know if they can get it the next time.
Well,
but just something simple like that is not...
Chicken wings was the same thing. They were really having trouble with getting chicken wings.
Every industry is going to it. I mean, we do tires where I'm at, as well as all parts, but it's all the same. But even tires on popular stuff. We can order it one day, and the next day they don't have any. Nobody. Well, you can't get one. And then 2 days later, it's again. You know, it's so random.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always something completely off the shelf for every manufacturer. But it's just a weird... inventory.
So
here.
You pretty much have to write the client's name down and say, hey, I'll call you when these come in?
I find them.
How do we
start calling multiple suppliers, finding out when the ship date is, to get first in line so when the shipment hits, we get it pulled.
Okay.
So generally, we just may take a day or two instead of, it's not going to be weeks, I hope. I mean, specialty tires, if you start getting into BMWs with those 215-mile-an-hour Z-rated tires, we had one the other day, we could find one in the whole nation.
And one tire.
And none on order. Yeah.
This just popped in my head. It's kind of random, but I'll talk about it. So I know they talked about the tire that won't go flat, and that was a big deal
five years ago.
But they never really took off, huh?
Oh, no, they're on the really high end. They're tremendously expensive. And they do run flat. In other words, if you are in a gunfight and they get shot, and you'll still get home, Well, you still need to change the tire. So what good is it? It's good in a race, like a race car.
That or if you're like in the middle of the desert.
It's good if you're a gangster or if you're in the middle of the desert.
To make you to the next.
To get you home.
Yeah.
But it's hugely expensive, and you got to change it anyway.
Like a three times amount of a tire? What's expensive?
Three, four times.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it is.
Boy, and it's a pain in the butt.
Do they last just as long?
It's going to be the
regular.
Trend. It's going to last the same. So it's just got a heavy inner liner, a heavy shell. That doesn't need to be. That's inside. It's still got a cushiony tire on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
And another tire on the inside. It's like having two tires.
Okay.
And they call them run flats because you can still get home. Okay, you got that extra security in case you're in a gun battle.
Drive a little
slower. What if you penetrate both?
Well, it doesn't matter. It's hard rubber. It doesn't require air.
Oh, okay. Oh, really?
And NASCAR uses them on certain tracks as well as...
Are they quite a bit heavier or not really?
Yeah, they're heavier.
They're heavier.
So it ruins your gas mileage and performance. So a lot of times we'll take those BMWs and we'll take those run flats off, put on regular tires, and they think they gained horsepower.
Really? No, that noticeable.
Absolutely. It is. It's your time for a break, buddy.
And we'll be right back. This is Money Talk.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
I think they said, hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis, talking about things. So, you know, if someone's questioning about, you know, is there inflation and how much, so in 2020 or 2021, historically, Social Security, they have a cost of living adjustment on it. And it's, if you look at the last 30 years, it's done about 1.5% on average. Last year, or for 2021, it got adjusted by 1.3%. So for next year, 2022, they already announced the increase of Social Security when it gets paid out, cost of living adjustment, 6.2%. And that's a high jump for Social Security.
They went from 1.3. Really do that? I mean,
well, they already announced the rate. I mean, it's already in the book.
Well, you know, I'm an old guy, so I mean, I'm happy about it. I don't collect it yet.
To go from 1.3 to 6.2, because they use some type of measurement, and that's how it cranks out. So, like you said, I think a lot of people are keeping this on the lowdown, you know, about the strength of inflation and where it's going. But that's a big jump.
Well, the GDP was quarter two was
6.4%.
Yeah. And you were talking about, Tom, the lack of materials and how hard it is to get materials in the bottleneck, but just people trying to get goods and building materials accounted for 1.1% less in GDP. So if we would have had our, you know, materials easily accessible, it could have been in the sevens. So, hey, that caller was asking about the Afghan currency, if it goes up and down. The answer is yes. And it's called the Afghani.
Yeah,
that's the currency they use. Yeah, the Afghani. And it's worth 0.012 United States dollars, so 1.2 cents.
0.012
dollars.
Okay.
Is what the, one Afghani
pennies,
is.
Or the penny.
1.2 pennies.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what the Afghani's worth.
I'm going to have to check, see what I got.
Hey, it does move up and down, so, you know.
Another interesting factor, if you're just looking at things, is when people can put margin on their account, which means they basically borrow against the stock, so they don't sell the stocks, but the company, Merrill Lynch or whoever you're with, TD Ameritrade, they will basically lend you money. And that margin, the margin accounts have gone up for the 8 consecutive months and at all-time high. So, and 2 years
ago... You mean the
amount
of people doing margin accounts?
Yeah, 2 years ago, it was about $650 billion was on margin, and now it's up to almost $900 billion. So what that means is people are borrowing more on their investments, and that's, you know, the Great Depression, I think you could margin as much as you wanted, and that's what killed it when it dropped. Now you can only do a certain percentage,
mm-hmm.
but that just shows that, that could help the tumble when it happens, or if it happens, the more margin there is, the more they're going to have to cover if stocks drop.
So people are pretty bullish if they're doing margin, they'll get more into the market.
Yeah, or they think they're trying to borrow money and move it somewhere else to make more money, I guess, play this thing. Hey, so I got another stat that jumped out at me. In the South, there was 3 top U.S. cities that added residents. And this is actually 2019 to 2020, so it's actually a little bit outdated. But of the city, Phoenix was one, San Antonio, and Fort Worth, Texas. So every time I go to Phoenix, you know, it seems like the desert keeps growing on all sides.
So what did they add? They grew like at a certain percentage?
They grew 25,000 residents, which means I think they built 25,000 houses. So a lot of growth.
Speaking of water, that's going to be another place. But
well, you know what's interesting? When they did the water cuts for the level one, you know, hurt a lot of the farmers in the Maricopa area. But they protected the, I mean, it didn't hurt the people. Like, they protected the people.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of dawns on me, like, if you know, the builder can keep on building, you know, that, and it's going to affect the farmer, and would eventually affect us. Because, I mean, I think the level 3 cuts are June of 2022, level 2. That could have maybe cut into Yuma, but I think Yuma got untouched.
Well, yeah, but I think people did volunteer to do a lot. I mean, Nevada, and I was talking to Wade Noble about it. California, even though they weren't affected, they volunteered a little bit. Mexico did, knowing that we all have to pitch in a little bit to keep it.
Like,
but
not,
but
so
most of it's getting Phoenix. It's getting the cut.
Yeah,
they've been planning for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need rain, George. If you know how to do the rain dance.
Well, there was a lot of rain in southern Arizona, but it didn't hit the Lake Mead, right?
We need it to hit the Colorado Mountains.
Yeah, you know, we do.
On the western slope.
Yeah.
You know, not. Not
the east
of the Continental Divide. Divide, you need this side.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of flooding over there. They had to close the Globe Highway.
Yeah, we're in a
60.
Drought, but you're standing on your roof because the water's up to your eaves.
Have you been through Gila Bend yet? I mean, I saw the pictures.
I saw the pictures. That's all I said. I'm trying to stay away.
That's going to take a while to recover, huh?
Well, some of those houses are going to be demolished because, you know, you can't have water up to your eaves and think, it's all right, let it dry out.
But even the businesses on Main Street, right? McDonald's was like 4 feet underwater.
Oh, I didn't know McDonald's, too. I didn't know.
That's what I heard.
But I heard there was a lot of tractor trailers that went through it that turned over. There's all kinds of stuff.
Oh, wow. I missed that one.
Imagine Did Cow Row's a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Dead water.
A lot of dead cows.
Well, maybe. I've been through there when it's flooded, and it didn't take much to flood it. You know?
It doesn't.
But this thing was colossal compared to anything I've seen.
Jeez.
I'm not in a hurry to run over there.
So that's interesting, too. I mean, it seems like there's more homeless people. Looking around.
Oh, gosh, yes. There definitely are. Yeah. And it's, you take a look at the, you know, the beaches in California and stuff, that seems to be a mecca for the homeless. But they're getting to the point where I think they're outpopulating the people that pay taxes.
They said 30% of the homeless are in California.
In the entire country.
Yeah.
I think that's where they should be.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was homeless, that's where I'd go.
Because they got beaches, right?
And they don't care.
You can camp on the beach.
Yeah.
And you probably don't need a blanket. You just need some good clothes, and you're probably going to tough through the night.
Yeah.
A tent. Some of them have tents.
Bring your own needles.
So as we approach this end of the year, one of the things for small business owners should be thinking about is maybe setting up some type of retirement plan, either for themselves or for their employees. So there's a lot of different types of retirement plans that are out there. There's about 8 of them. Some of the deadlines to get them set up are October 1st, and some of them are December 31st. So it depends on what plan you're in. But there's different ways to defer money. And what that means as a business owner, let's just say, you know, you made $50,000, you can defer money out of that. So if you funded a 401k, $19,500, or if you're over 50, $26,000, it would lower your income by that much. So it's a great tool to kind of take control on your income. Because if all you're doing is making the money, paying tax, and putting it in the bank, and it's kind of sitting there accumulating, there's other ways you can do to control your income stream. There's like a simple IRA account, which kind of talks about the simplicity of it. There's 401ks. Now, here's the thing about retirement plans. A lot of them require some type of government regulation. So a lot of them require a TPA, which is called a third-party administrator. And that basically trained to do the tax reporting of the 5500, but also trained to make sure that the business owners are spreading the money out to different areas like they should. Because most business owners would,
do it for themselves, not the employees.
Yeah, So you have to pass, they look through and make sure you pass the testing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is there's something called a safe harbor 401k. So if if the employees put away 5% of their money, the most you would have to match is 4%. And if you do that, there's no testing, which means the owners can put away as much as they want. So in the old days...
Up to the limit,
Up to the limit. The old days, owners would get mad because they started a plan and it wasn't that type of match. So then at the end of the year, they'd be like, well, enough of your employees didn't put enough money in, so you can't... Here's more money back. Money you would get kicked back to them. So there's things you can do to avoid that. And then if you're an individual that only worked with you and your spouse, there's something called a solo 401k, and that lets you put away between $0 and $58,000 away a year, which is a big deal.
That is a huge deal.
Yeah. So you can either do pre-tax or you can do Roth after-tax, but a 401k, a solo 401k. And the good thing is if you have good years and bad years, you really aren't even, if you're solo, you're not obligated to even put more money in. You can say, we had a bad year, I'm not going to put anything in. So it's very touch and go.
Yeah, $58,000 plus a $6,500 catch up. So that's a lot of money on a solo 401k.
Yeah, so technically, if a business owner had him and his wife on the payroll and they were over the age of 50, they could put away upwards of $120,000, $130,000.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Better be a strong business.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, you never know what businesses do. There's a lot of different plans. We actually do a lot of that work. So if anyone has any questions of that, now's the time to start planning, because these plans you can't just get them set up overnight.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing we do is we take an employee, a census report, so we get a feel for all the employees, when they were hired, how much they make. And then we come back and present what plan might make the most sense, depending on what the business owner is trying to do. But when we get back, we'll talk more about this. This is Money Talk, 5:06 a.m.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. We've got our last segment here, George Davis, Wealth Advisor, Yuma Investment Group, and Tom Rush. We're talking about some retirement plans for business owners, and the one with the closest deadline for this year is October 1st, and that's the deadline to set up a simple IRA plan, which business owners might want to look at. If you have 100 or less employees, you qualify for a simple IRA. And you were talking about the TPA, the third-party administrator, Tom, and the 5304 testing. The nice thing about the simple IRA is, you know, the word simple. It doesn't require the third-party administrator. So yeah, as far as the cost goes, it's a very cost-efficient plan to get into.
Yeah, the thing about the simple is if the employees don't put money in, you just don't match. So it's one of those plans where, you know, you'll help them if they help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't help themselves, you don't match. We've seen plans where there's 15 employees and maybe three people are doing it.
Yep.
And usually the owners are one of them. A simple plan will let you put away $13,500 away for the employee. And that's always pre-tax money. There's no Roth simple plan. So it lowers the income by $13,500. And if you're over the age of 50, there's a $3,000 catch-up. So you can basically go about $16,500. Yep. But again, if you had a business and if it was you and your spouse on it, there's a lot of small businesses involved in a spouse somehow. That could be an easily, you know, $32,000 off the income.
And it's a salary deferral, so it comes right off of your paycheck. And a lot of people like that because they don't really notice it, and it saves in taxes, obviously. Whatever you put in is going to lower your taxable income by that amount.
And then the other thing is who qualifies. And with the simple, they have to be with you for 2 years before you let them participate. So a lot of people like that because a lot of businesses have turnovers depending on what kind of business it is, but turnover is key. So you really aren't obligated to match them until they get on.
Mm-hmm.
There's no loan on a simple IRA, so without a loan provision, which is a negative. But it's a very simple starting plan to get going. And then usually what happens is most people will graduate eventually from a simple to 401k. That's actually what Yuma Investment Group did.
And that's an advantage?
So for simplicity and cost and how you have to match as a 401k, as an employer, the simple is the easiest, most flexible, less cost.
The match is just 3%.
If they put the money in, but some people want the Bud Light every Friday and they won't put the money in.
Mm-hmm.
So the employer is only obligated to match who puts it in. But then as companies get stronger and stronger, then they can offer more of a solid match with loan provisions. So usually a simple is the starting point, and then eventually it goes to a 401k,
mm-hmm.
depending on what they're trying to do. So the deadline to get the paperwork in place is October 1st, and then you can defer money by the end of the year. And a lot of business owners, because they control the payroll, can stroke a check, the last paycheck of the year and fund, $15,500 or whatever they're putting in.
Mm.
So it can happen, pretty quick.
So the salary deferral is on the calendar year. You can defer into your simple up until the end of the year, but it does need to be in place by October 1st.
Yeah, just the paperwork has to be in place, and then you notify the employees of who qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's something at the end of the year you can put more money in towards the end if you need to. What Social Security only covers on average about 40% of someone's retirement. So basically means you got to do something different besides Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
401k or retirement would be one. And if you really don't feel like doing a retirement plan for a business, if you're a business owner, then the other thing you can do is just fund an IRA or a Roth IRA. And that's $6,000 if you're under 50 and $7,000 if you're over 50, and you can also include your spouse. So, you can just do that individually. But you should have a plan in place, whether it's rental houses or something else, to help supplement your Social Security, because ultimately that's probably not gonna help you live a good retirement on Social Security.
Yeah, and these retirement plans are retirement plans, Tom, where some people I see use the simple as like a revolving bank account. If you take money out, that obviously defeats the purpose. You pay tax, and if you're under 59 and a half, you have that 10% penalty too. So you put money in, you want to put it in and forget it. Just put in so much per month that you can afford, and dollar cost average in, and the law of compounding interest, you'd be surprised after years and years of putting money into your retirement account.
Yeah, and all these plans, for the most part, people ask, what can you invest in? If you set up an individual account, you could pretty much invest in anything. You could buy stock, buy mutual funds, buy ETFs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like one plan is different than another. A lot of people, when you talk about an IRA, they think, I don't want that because it can't do much. But even in an IRA or Roth, you can buy the same.
But when somebody comes to you and say, look, I want to do it, and you say, what do you want to invest in? They say, I don't know. Where do you guys go from there?
So what we do is we basically have them take a little risk profile test with Riskalyze, and it gives us a better understanding of how much risk as a person they're willing to take.
Right.
And then once we see that number, we might convince them that they're too much risk or too little, depending on what they're trying to do. So if we had a young person and they're risk adverse, we would start talking about the rule of 72, which means whatever return you get, divide that into 72. It tells you how long to double your money. So if someone wanted to be really safe and say only get 5%, it might take them 18 years to double the money. But if you take the stock market historically does about 9%, so that might only take them, 10 years to double the money. Like not even 10, it'd be like 9 years, 8 years. So, you start talking some of that, then they get it. But ultimately, it's their money, and if they wanted to stay safe, they could. If someone said, I'm just safe, I want to stay safe, the next thing that you would do is we could do a financial plan with eMoney software, and once you plug in Social Security and all the variables that this person has,
right.
And then you say, okay, well, this plan says you got to work till you're 86 years old, and then you see their face, and then they...
Yeah, I'm tired now.
Well, then they start listening about how much, why it's important to take risk while you're young, and then get old, you know, take less risk as you get older. So there's ways you can show people that, you know, what maybe the right thing to do.
And also the big question is, how much do I have to save? You know, and that's what the
that's based on the variables they have to give you. I mean, they give you those variables.
Oh. Yeah.
Like what day you want to retire.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. What age would you like to retire? Right. If you could wave a magic wand. And, of course, like Tom's saying, you incorporate Social Security, which is 40% of your retirement. And then you want to project out. You do a projection. This is the age I want to retire. Am I overfunded or underfunded? Am I going to run out of money? How much do I need to put away?
Inflation and taxes are the two things that beat people up. So yeah. You definitely want to include those.
And we're headed for some inflation, most likely.
Yep. And the other thing is, only about 10% of Americans have actually done a financial plan.
Right.
So most people have some numbers in their head, and they usually kind of shoot from the hip and say, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that.
So most people live life.
But is it really going to get you to the end result?
Yeah.
And sometimes we do a plan and we tell someone, you could have retired 5 years ago. Like, if this is your meeting.
Really? And they said, hold on, I got to make a call.
No, but I hate to say this. A lot of people have the fear of not having enough money, so they will work too long, I think, you know.
I have a fear of not having enough time.
Yeah.
And time's something to think about.
None of us know.
We know we probably have tomorrow.
That's a big question. When do I take Social Security? You know, 62,
correct.
67? How much time do I have left?
Correct.
Yep.
Well, and I get so many different opinions on that. It's kind of amazing to me, the rationale.
But we're sad to say that the typical American is probably 10, 12 years underfunded on retirement. So we're kind of, most of the time, we're the bearer of bad news because we, you know, show them the outlook. But then we tell them, look, you know, it's all about getting your financial health in shape. And I like comparing it to working out or being physical.
Yeah.
You could be in the worst shape in the world, and you go to the gym for one day, you're better off than you were the day before.
Yep.
You go for a second day, you're better off than you were the day before.
Right.
Same with your money. As long as you start getting in the discipline of how you save money, and I'm not talking about putting on your mattress or burying your backyard because that won't make you any money. You got to take the risk and let compounding interest take it from there. But you can get in much better financial health if you try to focus on it and get disciplined about it. And most people stick their head in the sand, I'm going to do that next year. And then
it depends on what people want to do when they retire. If they say, look, I want to become a world traveler and I want to be on cruises every week, that's going to be a healthy bank account. So you need to step it up. And some people say, you know, I just got a small place, a cabin up in Sholo, and I'm going to stay there. I'm never going to go anywhere. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, but if they're only counting on Social Security, trailer.
Most people,
you know, since it's Sholo, it's a trailer or... So, yeah, I mean, most, even just to have a, you know, most people retire, they want to keep the same standard of living as where they're working.
Right.
And Social Security won't do that.
Yeah.
No. Not in most cases.
Yeah, no. You know, if you're debt-free, that may be. But the thing about Social Security, it only increases by 1.5% on average. So inflation, you know, goes up by about 3. So over time, you are going to be having less things that you can buy. And that will slowly eat into what you're trying to do.
And sadly, 1 in 3 Americans have $10,000 or less in their 401k. So 33% of the workforce, which is what 157 million, have only $10,000 in their savings. So
not a pretty picture.
No.
George is
not
one of them.
I'm in that 33%. Right.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to done for the hour, but appreciate coming on, and hopefully everyone have a great weekend. Be safe. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m. We'll be right back.
opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio.